Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. Let's begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Champaign County State's Attorney, Suspect in Fatal Hit and Run, Now in Local Jail. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, W-I-E-R-S-E-M-A, and is based out of Urbana. A man charged in a hit-and-run accident last month that resulted in two deaths has arrived in Champaign County after previously being arrested in Texas. Julio Cucol Bull, that's Julio, C-U-C-U-L, last name B-O-L, a 29-year-old citizen of Guatemala, arrived at the county jail Monday afternoon, Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz told the News Gazette. According to Reitz, Bull's arraignment is set for 2 p.m. today, and there will likely be a detention hearing Wednesday. As of late January, Bull was charged with two counts of leaving the scene of a personal injury crash, resulting in death, two counts of reckless homicide, and one count of aggravated driving under the influence resulting in death. The charges stem from a crash that occurred January 19th on University Avenue near Carl Foundation Hospital and resulted in the deaths of Chloe Polzin, 21, of Deerfield, and Katie Abraham, 20, of Glenview. Three other women survived, so there were five in the car total. Bull was arrested a few days after the incident by U.S. Marshals in Milford, Texas, while riding a bus headed for Mexico. He was initially jailed in Mansfield, Texas. At the time of the arrest, Bull provided false documents identifying himself as Juan Jehaziel Sayenz Suarez, 27, of Mexico, but later admitted that this was an alias, Urbana police said. Prior to his true identity being revealed, the U.S. Marshal's Office reported that the man identified as Sayenz Suarez had previously been deported once. When asked if she had any information about Bull's immigration status, Reitz replied, "That is not the focus of my concern. We are focused on prosecuting the criminal charges against him at this time. Immigration is a federal matter," Reitz added. Next up, a nice colorful photo, front and center of the paper, large photograph, and it's titled Words of Encouragement. The story behind the photo is something that we'll read more about in just a few minutes in Top of the Morning in A2, but it's a tall African-American man in a hoodie. It looks like he's signing an autograph for a young fan. A highlight of Terrence Shannon Jr.'s weekend. Oh, it's Terrence Shannon Jr., former basketball, Illini men's basketball player. A highlight of Terrence Shannon Jr.'s weekend was reading a letter written to him by 11-year-old Jackson Stewart. The fifth grader from Maroa handed it to the former Illini star and current NBA rookie at Saturday's jam-packed autograph session, and Shannon took time to read every word of it. And that photo is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. Next up, Danville School District Board Ways Paid Leave for Superintendent. Sick out expected, so no school today. This article is based out of Danville and is written by Jennifer Bailey. 4 months after Superintendent Alicia Geddes began working remotely due to what she has called security threats, the Danville School Board plans to discuss Geddes's continued employment at this week's board meeting. The agenda for the meeting, set for 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Dr. David L. Fields Administrative Service Center, includes motions to approve an amended contract with Geddes and place her on paid administrative leave consider the appointment of an interim superintendent and approve the hiring of a search firm to conduct a search for a permanent successor. Geddes's absence from the office has resulted in complaints by Danville High School District 118 staff, who were expected to stage a sick out today. As a precaution, district officials have canceled school for today. A notice was sent to families Monday night. Geddes, that's G-E-D-D-I-S, could not be reached for comment Monday morning. School board members either declined to comment or could not be reached. Last month, Geddes said her remote work status remained the same, saying she was following the direction of the majority of the Board of Education, which she said voted to allow her to work remotely due to alleged threats against her. Geddes last appeared in person at a school board meeting in October, and no new details have been released about the results of a security company's safety assessment on the district's administration building. The board released a statement in November saying Geddes should return to work or should return to in-person work. Here's some of that statement. The board takes threats to our employees seriously, it said. After considering the information provided by the Danville Police Department and given the current status of the FBI investigation as ongoing, the board has reached a consensus to have the superintendent return to on-site work. End of quote. Geddes has said she's been available for district matters, and school board president Randall Ashton said previously that we still get the work done, quote unquote. There's a little difficulty in the situation that we have, he said. We do try to get things done, and it's worked out to this point pretty well. Is it something that we want to continue on in the future month? Absolutely not. So we have to get some work done and make some tough decisions. Geddes previously said her intent was to complete her contract, which runs through the 2025-26 school year. And there's a photograph that accompanies this article. It's of several people kind of behind large kind of podium table. In a meeting, it looks like. The caption reads, Danville School District 118, Superintendent Alicia Geddes, middle, attends an October 2024 school board meeting, and that photo is provided by Jennifer Bailey of the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Danville Correctional Center, state plan would put businesses back in quote-unquote kill zone. Opposition group wants prison firing range to stay closed. This article is again based out of Danville and is written by Jennifer Bailey. Vermillion Advantage is asking Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul and the courts to reconsider allowing the firing range at the Danville Correctional Center to reopen due to concerns expressed by nearby businesses. Vermillion Advantage was recently informed by some of its members of a February 6th letter from the Attorney General's office, stating the Illinois Department of Corrections filed a motion to overturn an almost 40-year-old injunction and restore use of the firing range at the Danville prison. The letter states, per Judge Nicholas Beaulieu's instructions, you are advised that your business may be within the 3,200-yard kill zone. As described in the original 1986 injunction case, you will be further notified of a hearing date on the motion to vacate once one has been set, should you wish to appear and or oppose the motion. The injunction was originally granted as the firing range had a severe negative impact on businesses in the area, said officials with Vermillion Advantage, which strongly opposes vacating the injunction. The prison sits less than 2 miles from Lynch Road, which is home to a large portion of the city's significant economic development over the past couple decades, including the Golden Nugget Casino, Saltgrass Steakhouse, 2 cannabis dispensaries, several factories, and most of the community's new hotels. The sound of live firing of weapons is severely detrimental to business and will have an adverse effect on business retention and development, Vermillion Advantage President Mike Marin stated. Imagine enjoying a drink on the patio at Saltgrass to the sound of rifle fire or bringing in an international customer to one of our manufacturing facilities as gunshots ring out in the air. Vermilion Advantage is asking Raul to reconsider his decision to proceed with the motion and seeking assistance from state legislators to intervene with the Department of Corrections. Mervis Industries co-owner Michael Mervis, whose company has several facilities near the prison, said that while he's unfamiliar with the reasoning when the injunction was first granted, the fact that it was permanent should give pause to changing it, especially with increased business traffic along Lynch Road. Mervis said his company will support Vermilion Advantage as he believes has the best interest of the Vermilion County business community at heart. Vermilion Advantage will be on hold or will hold an informational meeting to organize opposition to the motion at 9 a.m. Wednesday at Saltgrass Steakhouse, 204 Eastgate Drive. Concerned members are encouraged to attend and request assistance from those in the legal profession. A portion of the Danville Correctional Center is seen in July. Sorry, this is the caption for a photo of the prison that's provided by Robin Scholes and the News Gazette. The caption reads, "A portion of the Danville Correctional Center is seen in July on the east side of Danville along Route 136. The Illinois Department of Corrections has filed a motion to overturn an injunction in place since 1986 against the use of the prison's firing range." And now, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Jackson Stewart, that's J-A-X-O-N, Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T. Jackson Stewart's hands were shaking when he handed the letter he wrote to Terrence Shannon Jr. At Saturday's autograph session at Game Day Spirit in Champaign. The 11-year-old had put pen to paper to let one of his favorite Illini know how much I miss him, said Jackson, who was accompanied by his mom, Danae Stewart, at an event that drew hundreds who formed a line wrapping the store. Shannon, in town for his jersey ceremony later that night at State Farm Center, was all smiles as he read Jackson's note. "I didn't think Terrence would take the time to read it at all, but he did," Danae said. "It brought tears to my eyes." Shannon also autographed Jackson's prized possession, a white hat that now has signatures of close to 100 Illini, players and coaches alike. It was a great start to a perfect day for Danae and Jackson, who attended the Illini's game against Michigan State. Jackson is a fifth grader at Maroa Forsyth Grade School with plans on playing football for the Illini. He's a center and defensive tackle. His next letter, Mom said, will be addressed to Brett Belima to tell him he's going to play for him in 6 or 7 years. And that's, there's a photo, and that's the one provided, that's the one I mentioned earlier, being front and center of the front page of the paper as well. It's kind of a slight variant on that picture. The caption reads, "Jackson Stewart watches as Terrence Shannon Jr. autographs his hat on Saturday." That photo is taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. History. Area history. In 1925, the Appropriations Committee of the House ordered investigation of housing conditions in the University of Illinois districts of Champaign and Urbana following submission of a resolution by J.E. McMacken of Salem calling for an appropriation for erection of 2 dormitories for enforcing cheaper rents. In 1975, campus lighting improvement projects, mainly affecting walkways to residence halls in the South Campus area, will begin as soon as materials arrive, Director of Campus Security Paul Doble said. Action will be initiated on 11 to 13 campus areas this fiscal year, costing an estimated $60,000, Doble said. The annual maintenance costs are estimated at $900. In 2010, students in Angie Bergner's third grade class at the North Ward Elementary School stood in front of the school to welcome Iraq and Afghanistan veteran John Wright home as his motorcade passed the Tuscola School. International history, today's highlight: on February 18th, 2021, auto racing star Dale Earnhardt Sr. died in a crash in the final lap of the Daytona 500. He was 49. Also on this date, in 1885, Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was published in the U.S. for the first time. That was 1885. In 1930, the dwarf planet Pluto was discovered by American astronomer Clyde Tombaugh. In 1970, the Chicago Seven defendants were found not guilty of conspiring to incite riots at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. Five were convicted of violating the Anti-Riot Act of 1968. Those convictions were later reversed. In 1983, 13 people were shot to death at a gambling club in Seattle's Chinatown in what became known as the Wah Me Massacre. Two men were convicted of the killings and were sentenced to life in prison. A third was found guilty of robbery and assault. In 1994, in the final race of his Olympic career at the Winter Olympic Games in Lillehammer, Norway, U.S. speed skater Dan Jansen broke the world record in the 1,000 meters, winning the gold medal. And in 2001, veteran FBI agent Robert Philip Hansen was arrested and accused of spying for Russia. The next headline reads, Sunday Funday, Concert for a Cause, benefiting Dolly Parton's Imagination Library and the United Way. The musical act will be Lone Star with special guest Feudin' Hillbillies. And that's Sunday, May 4th. Doors open at 2 p.m. The show starts at 3 p.m. Tickets are on sale now, starting at $25 plus fees. You can purchase tickets. This will be a show at the State Farm Center. So you can purchase tickets at statefarmcenter.com, at the ticket box office, or you can call the following number, 1-866-ALINI-1. Let's hope they make a lot of money. The next headline reads, it's actually a photograph called Grazing in the Snow, and it's a photograph of a deer outside in the snow eating grass or foliage that he's found, or she. The caption reads, a young deer finds greenery under the snow while grazing with a few others at Lake of the Woods in Mahomet. That photo is taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Economic Development, Douglas County in Midst of Amending Enterprise Zone. This article is written by Dave Hinton and is based out of Tuscola. Douglas County's Enterprise Zone Advisory Board is in the midst of rewriting an expanded Enterprise Zone plan and submitting it for state approval. Stephanie McMahon, Assistant Director of Douglas County Economic Development, said the goal is to have the plan approved by July 1st. The expanded plan includes most of the larger communities in the county, or county plus Sydney, which is in Champaign County. It's a geographic territory to incentivize development, McMahon said. We're preparing to write an amendment that will change the borders of the enterprise zone and add residential incentives. Previously, the zone included incentives only for business industrial development. McMahon said a consultant has been hired to write the amendment. The primary incentives to operate within an enterprise zone in Illinois are sales tax exemptions on building material and property tax abatements on the increased value of the improvements of 100% the first year, reducing that amount by 20% increments each of the following 4 years. McMahon said the advisory board has been discussing the amendment since last year. We work with all the communities in Douglas County to identify the properties we would like to add to the zone, she said. Almost all of our communities would like to see more housing and increased commercial development. McMahon called enterprise zones a great tool to incentivize development. Douglas County's Enterprise Zone was established in 2016 and included the communities of Arcola, Arthur, Atwood, Newman, Tuscola, and Villa Grove. The Illinois Enterprise Zone program is designed to stimulate economic growth and neighborhood revitalization. And there's a map of how this redistricting or rezoning, I think, would look. It's provided. The caption reads, "A map of Douglas County. The areas in green are in the county's enterprise zone." The next headline reads, from Capital News, Illinois. Second 50501 protest held outside state capitol. This article is written by Jade Aubrey and UIS, I think that's University of Illinois at Springfield, Public Affairs Reporting, or PAR, that's the acronym. A second protest against the Trump administration took place in front of the Illinois Capitol on Monday, less than 2 weeks after the first such protest was held. The protest was part of the 50501 movement, which calls for 50 protests in 50 states on one day. This is the same entity that put together a similar protest on February 5th, which was one of dozens of protests that took place across the nation that day. Build the Resistance, one of the main websites being used to organize these protests, called it the second national 50501 day of action, and started the protest slogan of No Kings on President's Day. The 50501 Reddit account posted the initial protest posters on February 10th, which were pictures of President Donald Trump wearing a crown next to the words, "President, not King, President, not God, and President, not Führer." Organizers of the Illinois-based protest issued a statement for Monday's protest, calling it No Kings Day. The statement included several national and Illinois-specific requests that revolved around issues including diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, LGBTQ+ rights, citizenship rights, immigration, Elon Musk, and the Department of Government Efficiency. Tristan cites a Lincoln resident who identified himself as one of the organizers of the Springfield rally, said the protest was not simply about Trump. "We have no kings in this country," Seitz said. "This isn't about Trump as a person anymore. This is about the fact that Trump and his people are currently trying to systematically destroy the government that makes us allowed to be free in this country." The next headline reads, Weber and Tice. That's Weber, W-E-B-E-R, and Tice, T-H-I-E-S. Former Chief Justice joins Champaign Law Firm. This is collectively written by the News Gazette and is based out of Champaign. Former Illinois Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, Rita B. Garman, G-A-R-M-A-N, has joined the Champaign law firm of Weber and Tice, P.C. She plans to work closely with the firm's litigation group, particularly its appellate practice. Garman served on the state high court from 2001 to 2022, including a term as Chief Justice that concluded in 2016. Prior to that, she served on the 4th District Appellate Circuit and as a circuit and associate judge in Vermilion County. The Vermilion County Courthouse now bears her name. Garman was born in Aurora and was the valedictorian of her graduating class at Oswego High School. She earned a bachelor's degree in economics with highest honors from the University of Illinois and a law degree from the University of Iowa College of Law. Before her service on the bench, Garman practiced law at the Vermilion County Legal Aid Society, was an assistant Vermilion County State's Attorney, and was in private practice with the law firm of Sabat, Swanson, Banks, Lesson, and Garman. Garman has received numerous awards during her illustrious career on the bench, including her selection as a Lincoln Laureate, an Illinois Bar Foundation and Illinois Judges Foundation Legal Luminary, and as a pillar of the Champaign County Bar Association. She currently serves on the boards of the Illinois Judges Foundation and the Danville Area Community College Foundation. Garmin is a member of the Illinois State Bar Association, the Iowa State Bar Association, the Illinois Judges Association, the Vermilion County Bar Association, the Champaign County Bar Association, and Champaign Rotary. She has two children with her late husband, Gil, and five grandchildren. Weber & Tice is a full-service law firm that has been serving business and individual clients throughout Illinois and beyond for more than 75 years. In addition to Garmin, other members of the firm include former federal magistrate Judge David G. Bernthal and John E. Tice, T-H-I-E-S, a former president of the Illinois State Bar Association. We are delighted to have Chief Justice Garmin as a member of our team, said managing shareholder David C. Tice. We believe our clients will greatly benefit from the experience she gained during her distinguished and exceptional career on the bench. And there's a photograph of Garmin featured in for the article. As a quick reminder, the story contains original reporting by News Gazette and the News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. Now let's take a brief look at our weather forecast over the next few days. In short, it will be cold. Stay warm. Today, the high is only 13. Partly sunny, early, then becoming mostly cloudy. North winds around 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 15 below in the a.m. overnight. Cloudy, north winds around 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 8 below. Wednesday, you'll see it slightly creeps warmer as the week goes on. Wednesday, the high will be 15, the low is 7, mostly cloudy, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, wind chill values as low as 6 below in the a.m., overnight mostly cloudy, wind chill as low as 15 below. That's Wednesday. Thursday, the high is 17, the low is 1, mostly sunny, wind chill values as low as 15 below in the morning. Friday, finally, 26 degrees, but the low will be 4, mostly sunny, wind chill values as low as 5 below. And Saturday, the high will be 33, the low is 14, and it will be partly cloudy. So do your best to stay warm over the next few days. The next headline reads, it's actually a reminder, the News Gazette is a daily newspaper operated by the Central Illinois Multimedia Group, Post Office Box 677, Champaign, Illinois 61824-0677. Paul Barrett is the Executive Vice President Publisher. Jeff D'Alessio is the editor. Nico Dugan is the Managing Editor. And Jim Rosso is the Vice President of News. And for delivery, subscriptions, and classifieds, you can call the News Gazette offices, which are located at 2101 Fox Drive in Champaign, Illinois. That phone number is 217-351-5252. That's 217-351-5252. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. I'll be back to read part two of the News Gazette with you shortly. Please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.